two confirmations to the word that just came. Sometimes we need to be encouraged by the word of the Lord. And we thank God for the obedience as men and women yield to the Spirit of the Lord. The word talks about us being set apart at this season, and we have not called ourselves, and we have not chosen ourselves. And it's God who have called us and sanctified us to this moment because of the destiny and what is before us in the days we live in. I'm going to share a quick confirmation to that word, but before then, another confirmation is saying that you, even though we know this is a very high cost price we're paying for setting ourselves apart, but again, the price the Lord has paid for us and compared to our obedience is nothing. There was a group of people who went to Uganda for a conference, a prayer conference. And when they got there this January, and people came from all over different nations. And different people were sharing the prize, what they were going through as Christians. You know, people from America shared, people from Europe, different people were sharing. And there was this couple from China, and they shared their testimony. And by the time they finished sharing their testimony, everybody started crying. Everybody started crying. Why? It made every suffering and every sacrifice that was shared before them look like they have not even started. Because this couple from China shared the kind of life they live just to serve God. And the sacrifices and it was amazing. Just for time, we just have to be thankful for people who paved the way for God's glory to be revealed. Amen? And those whose blood has brought us to where we are today. Amen? I'm sure God is going to require our blood for generations that are ahead of us. There is no future without the youths. Amen? And to pave pave a righteous part for the youths, sometimes it must cost us to see the price other people paid for us to have this gospel. Amen. The other confirmation about God calling us and in the season that we are in. Every Tuesday, I have a meeting in Chattanooga that I go to when it's possible. And it's a friend of mine that we have become so bonded. So we meet every Tuesday just to pray and to just make sure we stay connected to what God is doing and what God is saying. For you to have an understanding of what I'm about to tell you, because I was amazed at what he shared with me today, confirming this word that came. This man was once the vice president of Coca-Cola, so he's not just somebody who just did not understand what success is or what it is to be an achiever. And I met him when he was the vice president of Coca-Cola Company. And we've become friends since then, and when he retired. This man has spent all his life from after God met him when he had cancer, and God saved him from this cancer about when he was in his 40s. From that time till now, this man puts all his life on seeking God and serving God. Not too long ago, his children were becoming a little bit frustrated with him because they found out that everything he owns, he dedicated it to the purpose of God. Not too long ago, he has one of the biggest homes in Signal Mountain. He sold it and acquired a smaller home just to prepare, and his children don't understand it, just to prepare for the things that he sees coming upon America and where America is going. God has used this man to touch unspeakable numbers of missionaries and leaders. But one of the joining of his life that he shared with me today was 30 years ago. Because we're talking about what God is doing, and I was telling him I'm about to go away to wait upon the Lord. And he said about 30 years ago, he took his wife to Colorado for kind of a vacation kind of time. And he said there was this thing that they saw, a publicity about, it's something that they take them to the highest mountain. It's beyond, they take them top mountain in Colorado. I mean, he said when you get there, you almost feel like you're reaching out to the clouds. It's kind of an inclined thing, and they take a bunch of people, probably very expensive to do. But they take you, and when you get to the top of this place, there's a restaurant there, and you just go have a very special meal and stuff like that. So they will put a lot of people in it and take them up all that way, up all that way. So he took his wife, and during the time, I think those days, during the time they were singing all these Christian songs, and they were in this, whatever he called the name, and he was taking them up to the mountain. And halfway, he heard people, the people were singing different songs because they make it a fun thing. They give them songs to sing, and they are singing, going up to the mountain and other stuff. And halfway, he said something happened to him. This man is a Presbyterian. He's not into spirit field. He doesn't know much about spiritual things. He's just a Presbyterian man at that time. He said as they were going halfway, something happened up till now he could not explain until last 2 weeks. And I just saw him today, and he was on vacation last weekend with his family, and that's why he was telling me that. He said all of a sudden it looks like everybody around him was blacked out. And this kind of cone-like thing, cloud, just came upon him like that. And he could not see anybody around him. They were all together. They were singing. He didn't hear their voice anymore. He didn't hear anything. All he just did was this cloud, just like a cone, just came over him. And he heard a voice say, "I'm your father, and you're my son." And when the time comes, you will be ready. You will be ready. When the time comes, you will be ready. And the thing just lifted. And he started hearing the songs again. And the people were there. And he was like, "What in the world is this?" This is a Presbyterian. So that thing has lived with him and all through his journey. And he says, the boy says, when the time comes, you will know and you will be ready. So we've gone through so many things, and he has, you know, it's been years we've known, and he's done a lot, he's been doing a lot. So today, he's told me this story before, but not, he would tell me this story, but has never experienced a confirmation. So two Thursdays ago, last week they were gone with the family. Last 2 weeks, Thursday, there was a meeting. I went with him, we prayed, and I left, and they went to the meeting with the brother that was here, John Peters. And they went to this meeting they were having in close to his office, and they invited different people. So they called for prayer. John Peters was actually leading the meeting and leading the prayer session. They called for prayer. And everybody separated. He told everybody to just go find a corner and pray. And he went to a corner and knelt down and started praying and crying out. He said for the first time, he didn't know what was happening to him. He saw himself shaking. This is a praise. He knows he prays in tongues now. He knows the spirit. But he's never seen himself shaking. So he said, "What is this?" He thought it was himself. And he got himself, he said, he saw himself again praying, shaking. And But later after the prayer, he went to somebody and wanted to be sure he was not himself alone. He said, did you see me shaking? The person said, I saw you shaking, seriously. So while he was shaking, he said this voice came to him. After 30 years, said, the time is now and you are ready for what is coming. You are ready and the time is now. So, of course, when God speaks, he's talking about seasons. So he was sharing with me today, he says, after 30 years, he's been wondering, what does that mean? And these last two Thursdays, now this is a former vice president of a company, says after these 30 years, this voice now spoke to him and says, now is the time. Now is the time, and you will be ready. And he says, I have made you ready. And there was something else he said because of the shaking. It's like God was telling him he's doing something to him that to confirm what is prepared for this season. That was what he shared with me today, and we were there, and he says, Michael, I believe something that has never happened in America is about to happen. Because God will not let the iniquity of this land go beyond this point. And after 30 years, I believe, this is this man telling me now, he says, I believe something, and he drew something on the board that God, I mean, he made the gospel in three sections clean. Just to show you, when people get revelation, it's ABC. It's just three cycles he draw and squares and explain relationship with God and that. And the third one was something he drew about the Spirit of God. The other one was the Father and the Son. And he says, this is what the Lord is showing to him, that the work has been finished. It's a finished work. There is nothing that will happen tomorrow that God is not aware of. There's nothing that will happen that is not in the agenda of the plans of God. So he says, God has finished. That's why the book of Revelation has been written 2,000 years ago. So he says, God is telling him that God prepared him and for this time. And then he said to me, he says, you never spoke like this before. And it's so clear to him now what I've been telling him for a long time. The part of the Holy Spirit, he says, what is about to happen? People that don't have relationship with the Holy Spirit, this strength that comes from with the life of God, that relationship, the Holy Spirit was sent to help us, to empower us, to equip us, to baptize us. Everything God and the Father and the Son has sent the Spirit to help us be everything we should be. And he says, without this Holy Spirit, he says, nobody will physically be able to handle what is about to happen. That's what he said. Nobody will be able to physically. He said, physically speaking, men will not be able to handle what is coming. It has to be by the Spirit. So pretty much he was saying, I see the need now to have a personal relationship with the Holy Ghost. And it has to do with us waiting upon the Lord. Amen. God bless you, Gary, Laila, and my son, Michael. They need to leave you here one day, okay? Amen. God bless you. Having said that, let's read. There's a scripture that came to my heart when we're praying. It's because he was leading us. I want to read it, and we're going to pray together, a united prayer, and then for tonight, and we close. And this prayer, and I'll tell you why after we read it, why we need to pray this prayer. So if somebody can read for us, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, from verse 1, to 16. Let's read it for us. Acts 3, 1 to 16. Please pay attention to these scriptures. We're just going to take a few things and we'll pray tonight because of what the Lord is doing. Amen. At the hour of what? Amen. The man was placed there every day. Amen. So this problem has been there for a long time. Amen. Every day. But this time, the hour of prayer, they go there to pray all the time. So now, go ahead. Now, he asked for alms, for money, okay? Peter said, silver and gold have I what? But what I have, I'll give you. Amen? And he says, I have the name of Jesus. Okay? Oh, by our own power, amen? It's not our power. Okay, go ahead. Amen. Faith in the name of Jesus. He says it's not by any power of our own. Amen. That you see this man walk. But he says it is the power that comes through faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. It is not any power of our own, but it is the power connected that is released through faith in the name of Jesus. So there is power in the name of Jesus, but it takes faith to access the power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus, but it takes faith to access the power in the blood of Jesus. Amen? Now, let's quickly look at just a few things. First of all, it was the hour of prayer. So, you can tell that God wants us to be committed to the times of prayer. And they've been praying. God is already moving. This is the book of Acts. But here is this man that was been there, and he's been there even in the days of Jesus. Now he's there in the days of the apostle, and he's been sitting at the Solomon's porch in front of the temple, and he begs for money. This man begs for alms. He begs for money to live, money to survive, money to eat. That because he was lame in his feet. Amen? So one, God is calling us to a life of prayer. These are apostles, but they were spending time in prayer. They were not only there. When they got into the temple, there were more people there at the hour of prayer. So there's a consistent life in men and women of God to sustain the anointing upon their life in the way of prayer. When God anoints you, you keep that oil going by living in the presence of God. That's how you sustain a move of God. So they were doing that. They were not distracted from that. But at this hour of prayer, here is a man with a need that God has allowed to be that way for a long time, and now God wants to be glorified in this area of need. First of all, when the man looked to Peter and John, he was not looking for miracle. Far from him, there was nothing in him, because he's been there. He's been hearing our move of God, he's been there. So it looks like, God, you know, just, so this man had faith for money. So he was begging money. But the thing that, you know, he was begging money. So money was more like a bandage for his need. Money was like something just to keep him to get by. But money could not set him free from his source, his problem. Money could never restore him. Money could never make him whole. Money could not give him the dignity. Money could not give him his mind. Money could not restore his identity. He was a beggar. When God is moving, we have to be led by the Spirit. See, Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda. There were so many sick people. There were so many lame people. There were so many paralyzed. It was a place where sick people, multitudes go. And Jesus went there and healed just one man and walked away. He has power to heal all of them. But there's a reason that God wants us to be led by the Spirit. But in another town, in other places, Bethesda and other places, Jesus will go, and as many as we touch him, every one of them, the Bible says everyone was healed. Everyone was made whole. So during all this time, Jesus went to the temple every time. Even the 3 years he was ministering, he went to the temple. And this guy was there. So we need to be careful not to take on a mindset that if we don't see God use us, do this, do that, do that. The most important thing is to be sensitive to what God wants us to do. Amen? Because that's where God gets the real glory for what he's trying to do. Amen? So now, a parallel is this. We are in a time of prayer. God is calling us to stay in prayer. And God is going to move. Our generation has put all their emphasis on money. But money has kept us still like lame people. Money has not changed the identity of the church. The church is lame towards the world. The church cannot really help the world. We are limited in what we can do. And so, the condition of this man being lame, his focus was money. The reason God gave the children of Israel money when they came out of Egypt, but did not give them the atmosphere to spend it, was always trying to make sure that God has to come first before money. He says, seek you first the kingdom of God, and God will add all those things to you. Prioritize God. God wants us to know the supernatural before the natural. The moment we put our hope on the natural, we enter into limitations of man. God wants to always call us out. That's why Paul told the Galatian church, haven't you you begun in the spirit? Why are you now going to the physical, to the law? So God brought them out of Egypt supernaturally. God started taking them through a path where they have to depend on him for supernatural. God wanted to introduce them to the supernatural, to the spirit, and later he will bring them to the promise where they have all the things they need physically. But every time God blesses people with his hands first, they begin to depend on money first. Money answereth all physical things in the world. Money answereth all things. That's what Solomon said. And it's true. Money rules the world. And that's how Satan, Mammon, rules the world. So God wants us to first know, have a taste of the supernatural, and then he will add every other thing to us. And so into this church where we are, we have fallen into this man's situation. We are looking to money to do everything. I'm telling you, what people do with money in the church today, it will look like God is moving. Until you bring in sick, lame, homosexuals, and people that money cannot change. And then you find out, what is all this worship and all these things going about? What is all these beautiful buildings and all this crowd feeling? What about this sick person? What about this lame person? What about this all these sicknesses? Why are they not getting healed in church? Instead, what are we doing? We are going to the medical field. the hospitals, the CVS, the Walgreens. And then we come back and there's nothing supernatural. Our money is making things look so supernatural. A brother from China came to America. By the time they were going back, he made a statement. This minister said it just to emphasize the point, and it's true. He says, it's amazing what they can do in America without the Holy Ghost. What the church in America can do without the Holy Ghost. So, lame spirituality is it's exchanging money for the presence of God. So this man looked to them, Peter, give me money. But Peter said, silver and gold I have none. Hallelujah. Amen. You all, that's that. God did something to me here when I was, you know, in my last consecration here. And I shared all with you when I was frustrated about God, this. And God revealed to me the difference between having me and having my hands. Having the difference between having my heart and having, you all were here when I shared it. That thing has changed my life. It says many times people go after my hand. My miracles, my healing, my provision, my this. And when they don't get it, they are not content. They think God is not moving and stuff. But what God is doing is, God, when he loves people, he wants you to have his heart first. And when you have his heart, you have his hand. So he shared with me how, if you look at all the barren people, all the people that were, you see, not that God didn't want to give them his hand, his healing, but because those people sought his heart first. And by the time God blessed them, he gave them his heart, and then he gave them his hand. But many are going after the hands of God rather than the ways of God, the heart of God. So God showed me a lot that has really transformed my expectation for waiting on God. So this situation was exactly similar. This man is asking for a hand, but instead, God went beyond the hand. And God says, I see your real need. But because men cannot help you, because this is a solution that is beyond the reach of man, I am going to do it because I love you. And Peter said, again, I paraphrase, silver and gold cannot solve this problem. My brothers and sisters, the reason we are waiting, the reason David waited on God was because in every generation, there are problems money cannot solve. There are needs money cannot meet. And let me tell you, 100% of soulish needs can never be met by money. Money puts a bandage on it. So Peter is saying, brother, I don't, he might have money in his pocket, but he's saying, your problem is not money. You need God. And that's what you're going to get. That's just part of it. But the reason I'm saying this is, it was at the hour of prayer. And they passed there all the time, but this time, God just caused them to focus on this person. God moved them towards this guy at this time. There was a divine connection. And so Peter says, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He grabbed his hands and lifted him. And this man, God supernaturally raised him. And then people were marveling, how did this happen? And they came, you know, even though God is moving, this is Acts chapter 3. You know, God is already moving mightily. When they saw this miracle, he really blessed the people, and they were like, is this not this lame person that has been that? And Peter says, it is not by any power, anything about us. So don't look to us. This is my next point. God is raising and preparing a people that will cause men to look to God and not to them. I have discovered very clearly I cannot help myself. How can I help somebody else? But I have found out through God, I can do anything for anybody. God can use me to do anything, no matter how impossible it is, if I yield to God. But I cannot do anything for myself, neither for somebody else. So Peter is saying, this has nothing to do with us. We are just yielded vessel. And it is the power that our faith has connected to the name of Jesus that raised this man from the dead. So what Peter then were pretty much saying, because now they've crucified Christ, he's gone, the Pharisees have done, and he was pretty much pointing the fact to this. Every miracle, every healing, every gospel we preach is supposed to lift up the name of Jesus. And that's why Jesus says, if I am lifted up, I will draw what? Unto him, not to us. And the reason we don't give God glory or point people to God and to faith is because there's just something in us that just likes to make people feel it's about us. We have something to do with it. So that's why we are waiting. That's why sometimes you pray your headache don't go away, because God is telling you, can you do it? If you want to take glory, okay, cure your headache. Get that breakthrough so I know that it's you. So tomorrow when God now tells you you can move mountain, you turn around and say, give me the glory. So this training, God wants to teach us to know that whatever we do had nothing to do with us. He wants us to learn this lesson before he begins to do extraordinary things with us. He wants us to know that completely we are nothing. Jesus even said it, I am nothing without my Father. The Son can do nothing. Jesus said it. That is somebody that has died to the flesh completely. The only thing that tries to point to self or even share any item of glory is flesh. And so the reason God is causing us to wait is not that he's not ready to pour his hands. He wants us to have his heart. And he wants us to know that it's not about us. He has left us in this world so that through us, he can lift up his Son again. He can lift up Jesus. The world has to know who Jesus is again. The world has to know he's the only way. The world has to know he's the one that died. The world has to know he's the miracle worker. The world has to know. The gospel is all about revealing the resurrected Christ. If we can, and waiting, if we can start getting this revelation, we are closer to our miracles. Amen. Peter said, it's not us, but it is the faith, the access with connection to the name of Jesus. There is power in his name. There is power in his blood. But you cannot access it without faith in that name. And that's what we did. We just believed in the power in his name. We believed in the power in his blood. And that's what has raised this man from the dead, from lameness. Amen? So our first prayer tonight is that God will so transform us that we will never share his glory. How many times do you do things for people and you think you did it? You know, we sometimes we think it's us. Because it is, you fasted, you prayed, God used you, were led by the Spirit. Or if it's money, you think you work so hard, you know. See, we came naked. Job said, and we'll live naked. So everything belongs to God. Amen? But what God, the people God wants to trust with wealth and trust with power are people who have died to flesh. The word died to flesh simply means you cannot share the glory anymore. Because he says, no flesh can glory in my presence. That's why we are waiting on the Lord. My brothers and sisters, we are waiting for his presence. We're waiting for his glory. But at the same time, do you know why we're waiting? We can do nothing to help anybody. What are we waiting? So that his power... Go and wait until power what? Comes. Go and wait until what power? Holy Ghost power. So if we don't learn this lesson now, when God starts using you, I'm telling you, I will begin to come into the picture. So let's settle it in our hearts. If God uses you, whether it's a sound system, oh God, I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm so glad you used me to do this. If we can start programming ourselves to think that way, get ready for God to trust you to be a vessel of blessing. Amen? Then, that's our first area of praying for God to help us. Then the other prayer is, at the hour of prayer, that's when God unctioned them to do that. Tonight, I just felt that tonight, after we pray that first prayer quickly, just ask God to help us and keep that in our diary. God, help me to be mindful not to share your glory. We are flesh. As you pray that prayer, God will continue to kill you. Because until God kills you, there's no way, any little pressure, you're going to be shouting that you are in charge. So that's one way. Then the second one is, tonight, in the name of Jesus, I just want us, very simple, tonight to decree and pray against over anybody that comes to your mind that is sick. Just tonight, just take a few minutes tonight, we'll pray. For anybody that is sick, you know, as we walk around, call their names or just pray in there, just pray, say, this person be made whole in Jesus' name. This person be healed in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that this person is healed in Jesus' name. But mix faith to the prayer. You know why I'm saying this? At the hour of prayer, last week, thank God Kwanda is here. Kwanda didn't know everything that I shared with you all yesterday or 2 days ago. But Kwanda was a witness too, because she went to the hospital. I was at the hospital and I mentioned to Nancy also to pray. Lynn Baker was given 3 days to leave. I didn't tell people that. And actually, when I found that out, I didn't ask anybody again to pray. Because some things, when you mention to people, I'm concerned unbelief will kick in. But when I first went to the hospital, he was sick. I mentioned to people to be praying. And then the next day, I got a text. Mama is now in the hands of God. The doctors have given up on her. Because they said they can't touch her, they can't treat her. If they do anything, her heart might fall apart. So they brought the three specialists, heart specialist, cancer specialist, and one other specialist for her to sign a paper that they can't do anything. And she has 3 days to leave. The day they made that statement with God, Juara, I came here, I was crying to God. I don't know all the people they sent to pray. I asked Kwanda to go to the hospital. That next day, they can't explain it. They don't know what to do. They took her from ICU. They put her in a room. It wasn't long she was in the room. She was walking around going to use the restroom. This was somebody that was on a breathing and could not talk. And they gave her time 3 days. In that 3 days they gave her to die, in 3 days, they could not explain. They put her in a room. It was in a room. They were going to do, they could not explain. In the third day, she was at home. They didn't want to send her home. But she was healing so fast, the third day, she was at home. She called Kwanda, she called me, talking like a normal person. There is no human explanation. I got the test. The doctors gave up and they gave 3 days and they said, sign documents. But in the hour of prayer, people were praying and asking God, show mercy to your daughter. Do something because man has given up. Silver and gold, technology cannot go beyond this point. But there is power in the name of Jesus. And Lynn Baker went home. My brothers and sisters, we will see things in our generation that has never been seen. Let's wait a little bit. Today, I just confirmed to you, that brother that told me that, it was waiting for him to say that. Men like that don't have a 30 years. And God just told him last 2 weeks, that season has come. Get ready. So, hallelujah. You don't know what God has been doing in your life since you've been waiting, but I'm telling you, he's been doing something. He's going to trust you with things you never believe. He's going to add things into your life because you have prioritized the kingdom of God. God doesn't have problem blessing us, but he has problem if he blesses you, will the blessing destroy you? Amen? So let's take a few minutes. Just meditate. Just ask God to kill everything in our lives that is still going to help us, make us compete for his glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll never forget every time I've gone to some places with people and there is crowd. It's amazing how something in you immediately wants to do something. You just want to move really quickly. You all of a sudden you're a prophet. Crowd just pushes it out of you. Amen. So let's pray. But when you're alone with two people, you will not hear anything from the Lord. I don't know who we're trying to impress, but there's something in us that wants glory. David was raised in the backyard of the wilderness. Moses was raised in the wilderness. All these people you see, Joseph was raised in the prophetic ministry in jail. Amen. God is a God of wisdom. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your wisdom to call us to a waiting place, to call us to a place of transformation, a place of change. You said the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Father, you said visions tarry because the heart, the soul of man can be lifted up. So, Father, we thank you for the grace to surrender everything in us that is not of you. As you continue to purify and purge us, as you continue to crucify everything in us, oh God, that will cause us to serve you and not make it to heaven. We thank you for your wisdom. You love us so much, oh God. You're willing to circumcise our hearts. You're willing to give us your heart and not your hand until we transseparate what is your heart and what is your hand. For many has been misled by your hands, the hands of your miracle, the hands of your provision. They have received the revelation of your hand as your heart. Father, we thank you that Moses knew your ways. The children of Israel knew your hands, and they perished in the wilderness. Father, we thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for revealing your love to us. Thank you for revealing your compassion to us. Thank you for revealing your long suffering, oh God. Thank you for revealing, oh God, your heart of mercy and compassion and love. Thank you for giving us your heart. Father, we are the people of the first commandment. We want to seek you with all our hearts and strength so that, Father, we can carry your heart to our generation, to our neighbors, oh God. So we thank you for this waiting. We thank you for this transformation. We thank you for this change. And we thank you for the season you're bringing us in. Father, we thank you for what is before us. There is nothing new. You know what is coming and you know what it's going to look like. And Father, like Noah's Ark, you've caused us to be in preparation for our time of promotion. Our time, oh God, to speak before nations and before kings. But Father, not from our own hearts and voice, but as oracles of your heart. Father, we give you glory. You said you are the God of all flesh. There is nothing difficult for you. Father, your hands are not shut in that you cannot provide. You cannot. But Father, we are asking that you remove everything in us so that we can be well equipped and ready to handle your blessing. For truly you have great blessings in store for those who seek after you, those who wait upon you. Thank you, Jesus. So we thank you tonight for your grace to wait, for the transformation that comes through this waiting, for your heart that is being revealed through this season, for your ways that you're teaching us that are so deep. Father, we give you glory and honor. We receive you. Thank you. For our generation, we see your heart. And they will know your hands, the power. Father, we pray that in all things that you do, Father, settle it in our hearts, oh God, to be people who are quick to give you the glory and the honor, to be people who are quick, oh God, to know that all that we are, if you did not bring us out of darkness, if you did not bring us out of darkness, we are nothing, oh God, but servants of Satan. And our destination is hell. So you purchased us with your blood to be your servants, to establish your kingdom, and Father, to give you the glory for the privilege, Father, to honor you with our lives. So teach us, instill in us that our lives will only bring glory to you and not to us. Father, help. To yield all the glory to you. Everything you do through us, Father, help us to settle it. Because we know we cannot. As you begin to use us, may we know that it is you that gets all the glory, all the praise. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We surrender. After we've done all, Father, may we be carry this mind of humility. We are unprofitable servants. Because we know when we stand before you, you will declare that we have fulfilled your assignment. And you will say, well done. Well done, O good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom. Into the place that has been prepared for you. But here on earth, Father, like your son Jesus, we are here to give you all the glory. We wait upon you. We do only that which pleases you, for that is the reason for which we are in this earth. And our reward will wait for us, O God. You will glorify us. Thank you, Father. Father, tonight we give you glory and we thank you for what you've done in Limbeka's life. We thank you for the many that have prayed, the many. We thank you for her faith that stood, and out of her mouth she declared, I will live and not die. Satan, you tried to kill me with cancer, but my God gave me victory. You cannot kill me now. So we thank you for your faith you put in our hearts. We thank you, God, use this vessel to bring hope to a generation. Use this vessel to testify of your hand, oh God, where man has failed, where money is limited, where technology cannot go. There is still a God whose power is unlimited, whose mercy can reach where no man can go. So we thank you, Father, for your mercy over Limbeka's life. This woman, oh God, be glorified. Continue to strengthen her. Continue to empower her. Continue to increase her testimonies so she can bring glory to your kingdom. Thank you, Father. And tonight we thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, there is power in that name of Jesus. Nothing can change it. Nothing can stop it. That power in the name yesterday, there is power in that name today. There will be power in that name forever. Father, we are praying that our faith in that name be increased. There is power in that blood. Increase our faith in this name and in the blood of Jesus. So, Father, tonight, we bring every member of Zion, every member of your church that is going through the affliction of infirmity, in the name of Jesus, we command that infirmity to go. We command that sickness to go. We command that infirmity to dry up now, in the name of Jesus. I bind in Jesus' name every spirit of infirmity, in Jesus' name. Go from Zion. Go from the sons and daughters of Zion. We proclaim healing, spirit, soul, and body, in the mind and hearts and soul of your people. Tonight, in Jesus' name. Zion be made whole. Sons and daughters of Zion be made whole. Father, we declare wholeness to the body. We declare restoration. Father, in the name of Jesus, we confess that silver and gold cannot deliver your church. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Restore. Restore your church. Restore your bride. Raise us up again that we will leap and dance and praise your names. Raise up your lame church. Raise up, oh God. Raise us up again. Raise us up again. From the place of begging, Father, to the place of authority, to the place of power, to the place, oh God, that your restoration power will not be in vain in this generation. Your blood will not be in vain. Your name will be highly exalted again. Father, arise by your spirit and establish your presence, your authority in our midst. Father, tonight, I cause every infirmity right now over Yolanda's life. I command healing in her body now, in the name of Jesus. Be made whole. Be healed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, receive strength in Jesus' name. Receive power. Receive wholeness in the name of Jesus. I command infirmity to go from your body.
Shekeriba Moperia Scutore Bakata Keprando Saka Ikerien Dumosa. Jesus. Father, we give you glory. Let the name of your Son be exalted again. Let the name of Jesus be glorified. Let the name of Jesus be magnified. There is only one kingdom. There is only one king. There is only one way. There is only one life. It's through you, the Father, through your Son, by your Spirit. Let your name alone be exalted again above every name. Father, let your kingdom alone be lifted up. Your kingdom alone be exalted and be magnified. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for you are here to lift up the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes. Yes.